Beaumarchais by Craig Warner with Henry Goodman as Beaumarchais. Episode 1, Noblesse Oblige.
Look at this place.
I'm looking.
Look at it.
What's wrong with it?
It doesn't look like we lead a very genteel existence.
So?
Henri Lepaute is going to be here any minute.
Well, he's been here before, you know. I've been selling him watch and clock parts since before you were born.
But I'm born now, am I not?
Would that have changed the house?
Well, of course. I'm adult, I'm fit and able. And yet I live here. Now, that implies consent. I want at least to look as though I don't belong.
Well, you were born in this house. You can never change that.
I don't want to change it. I just want to get out of here one day.
You should accept God's gifts with thanks.
It's not necessarily an expression of ingratitude to wish to improve one's life. I want to improve it for you too, Papa. Aren't you tired of just getting by and only having Sunday dinner on Sundays?
Well, Sunday dinner comes on Sundays. That's as it's meant to be.
You're old and your libido's dried up. That's as it's meant to be. Nature cures ambition in the old so that they can be ushered toward death without putting up too much of a fuss. But I'm not old, and I'm not dead. And you'll have to forgive nature her indulgences as they work themselves out in me. Now, why should we not have more than we do? Is it God's will that those that are poor are poor? Or is it merely a test?
You've been reading the philosophers again. I tried to protect you from them.
We're different, Papa. I play the flute, the harp, I sing. You haven't been blessed with any musical understanding whatever. I write little dramas for my own amusement, and you've been graced with no such literary skills. I've invented a number of household gadgets.
All of them useless.
And God has clearly not meant your eyes to look upon a single object and say, this was not here until I made it. It is his design. And now I've invented the very thing that will lift us up out of this tragedy we were born into. And the best that you can do is to question the nature of my impulses. Well, I think that you'd better look again to see which one of us is the philosopher. There he is.
I'll go.
No, answer the door. I'll be being nonchalant.
Oh, Madame Franquet.
Ah, Monsieur Caron, good afternoon. Young Monsieur Caron, good evening. Is it a bad time?
We are watchmakers, madame. It's never a bad time.
That's the reason for my visit. My watch is giving funny numbers.
Well, let me see it.
I left it at home. I thought perhaps you could look at it there.
With your husband still alive?
He's only just alive, and the watch is in another room.
As long as he lives, he is too close. Do you want him to hear me mending a watch through the walls of his very own house?
You've done it before.
When he was in Switzerland, and the watch needed urgent attention.
I'll get you something in the way of refreshment.
Not something in the way of refreshment, surely.
It would be a crime to let anything get in the way of refreshing those delicate pink lips of yours.
Then let nothing come between your lips and mine, monsieur.
If you were free, madame, my lips would have been planted on yours long ago and taken root and be there still.
I thought you esteemed me, and yet you've never obliged me as you've obliged other women.
Men often oblige women for whom they have no esteem. That is called nature. But to oblige a woman for whom one has regard, now that would be perversion.
We'll soon be alone. This time he'll not recover. I have the doctor's word for it. Oh, Pierre, you don't know what a prison my marriage has been. He's 40 years my senior and hasn't enough steam in him to pucker his lips. My life has been like an old party dress hung up on a wall, but now we'll take it down, you and I. We'll throw it over my head and I'll be alive, and the music will ring out for my resurrected spirit. You'll help me learn to dance again, won't you, Pierre?
I'll help you to learn to do more than just dance.
That's Henri Lepaute, watchmaker to the king.
Well, what should I do?
Be praising my watches.
Oh, Monsieur Lepaute.
Good morning, young Carol.
No, you don't, Monsieur Caron. Don't try to get away from me while I'm praising you. The work he did on my grandmother's cherished mantel clock was nothing less than inspired. He simply glanced at it, and after 20 years of slumber, it began to sing. Its gold shone like it had just sprung from the earth. Its dead hands began to twirl about. Its heart sputtered. And it's so healthy now, it tells the time 2 hours in advance.
Let me hold the door open for you.
And do you know the most amazing thing?
Save the most amazing tales for your old age, my dear, when they will be all you have left. Goodbye. You'll have to forgive her enthusiasm. She's nearly a widow.
And an attractive one at that.
Oh, all widows are attractive. Nature gives them a scent all of their own. Oh, Father.
Monsieur Lepote.
Good to see you, Caron. How kind of you to bring me a drink.
He's a very kind man and blessed with the gift of prophecy.
I'll leave you to your business.
Now, what do you have to show me?
This. The Caron escapement.
Oh, you've improved the escapement, have you?
Improved it? I invented it anew. It's a cylindrical casting with a tail at the bottom, which makes up for the difference needed in the impulse. Any watch containing this will keep time for over a week.
Oh, I've worked on a variety of escapements for over 30 years, my boy, and I've not succeeded in keeping the time for more than 2 days.
The question is not whether the successful escapement appears in your history, Monsieur Lepote, but whether it occurs in mine. I invite you to examine it at your leisure.
Well, I shall take it with me.
I invite you to set it. If you find after 7 days that it's keeping the correct time, we'll call that a success. And then I would be grateful if you would endorse it with a testimonial. Oh. The entire world will benefit from it. In 10 years, all watches will contain my escapement. But my reputation is yet to be made, and a word from you will hasten things considerably. I'm prepared to give you 5% of the profits.
5%?
7.5%.
There's no need to bargain, Monsieur Caron. If the escapement doesn't work, as I suspect is the case, you are offering me a percentage of nothing at all. And if it does work, I shall have no alternative but to show it to the king.
You are an honourable man, Monsieur Le Pope.
Ah, it will be my downfall, sir. Goodbye.
I'm very sorry, madame.
Oh, young Monsieur Caron.
Good afternoon, madame.
And then his eyes grew large. His nostrils quivered. His lips drew back to expose his teeth. A light seemed to flash across his face. And he exhaled for the very last time.
Has your husband expired?
This very morning.
She's so confused by grief that the first thing she thought to do upon his lordship's decease was to have her watch professionally cleaned.
It's what he would have wanted.
I shall do it at a discount.
I'll fetch you a copy of the Mercury, son. I think you ought to read it.
Take me.
What?
I want you to take me.
Right here?
In the garden, on the roof, out in the street. I don't care. I'm free.
Oh, your grief becomes you.
My grief becomes me because it allows me to become me. Do you want me?
I can feel you in the room.
Then take me.
If my father weren't coming back with the paper, you'd be carrying twins by now.
Oh, bugger decorum. There's no time for ceremony. I've wasted 12 years of my youth living in a coffin. Come with me, Pierre. Come to the manor. I've purchased my husband's office, and it's yours if you want it.
Mine?
The manor is now a complete life, minus a lord. Take his office. Take my 40 rooms and my 2 dogs. Take his clothes, his jewels, his swords. Take me, Pierre, and everything about me.
Oh. Here's the paper. Oh. I think you'll find it of interest.
Respected members of the Academy of Sciences, I am delighted to announce my invention of a new escapement for use in watches, which it has been proven allows accuracy of time to be maintained for over a week. Orders for watches containing the groundbreaking innovation may be directed to the offices of Henri Lepote, Rue Saint-Étienne, where orders are gratefully received.
Oh, I'm sorry, my boy.
Oh. Don't be sorry, Father. Congratulate me on my forthcoming marriage.
To whom?
To me.
But what are you going to do about the Pope?
He has written an open letter to the Academy of Sciences. I shall visit them in person and disabuse them of this lie.
Well, you can't go dressed like that.
I don't intend to. I shall be stopping at home first.
Is this no longer your home?
Nor yours. Papa, goodbye. Linen, velvet, oh, silk.
They're all yours now.
These breeches.
Take off your clothes.
I'll burn these old rags.
Don't dispose of clothing. It's counter to enlightened thinking. You must save them to give to the poor.
I'm a new man now. Look at me. My bearing is changing.
My voice is changing. Even my thoughts are changing. And look at those old clothes, shapeless bundle. One can hardly believe a man inside them is enough to make them stand up. Oh, these stockings. They practically float on their own.
When shall we marry?
Tomorrow, at dawn, or tonight. I don't care when, oh, darling. We'll rule our little world together, side by side.
We'll eat, even when we're not hungry. Drunkenness will be our waking state. And you shall have children, and children, and children, until the name Caron is an army, a choir, a country. We'll live 110 years and die in the act of love.
Wear the sword.
I've never worn a sword before.
It looks perfect.
Now, I must go and seek justice.
You have money now. What need have you of justice?
I must protect your name, my darling Madame Caron.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. I would like to speak with Marcel Vignon, the Minister of Sciences, on a matter of great urgency.
What is your name?
Pierre-Augustin Caron.
I don't believe I have you down for an appointment.
I didn't make one, but I assure you the matter is most urgent.
Be that as it may, the minister is not to be disturbed.
Why not?
It was his request.
Well, if you kindly announce me, perhaps he changed his mind.
Announcing you would be a disturbance in itself, and I would have failed in my duties.
But when he asked you not to disturb him, surely he did not preclude every eventuality?
I think it is reasonable to assume that flood or fire or an act of God might warrant a disturbance. But your arriving, I'm afraid, would not.
A crime has taken place.
If you'll just put that in writing.
But it'll be too late.
Then may I suggest you deliver the letter by hand?
Let me ask you this. Does a man dressed like this normally lie about the urgency of a matter?
I don't understand the question.
I'm not surprised. Oh, one would only have to look at you, at your lidded, uncomprehending eyes, to know that penetration is quite out of the question. I shall expose you to your superiors. Yes, you shall smirk no more. You don't know who I am, do you? Well, each man should be honored as a prince until you're quite sure that he is not.
What happens then?
My darling, stop pacing and come to bed.
Everyone has a right to see the Minister of Sciences. Do we pay taxes?
No.
Well, we did when I was poor.
Well, you're noble now. You're exempt.
It's a disgrace. Anyone should be able to see a minister upon the slightest whim, especially when justice depends on it.
Only the poor bother to demand justice, because they're so far from having it, they still think it exists.
Oh. Are you all right, my dear? You see, the problem is my name, Caron. How can I sign this letter with such a name? And what good is nobility as a gift when my name itself has no ring of land in it?
You do have land.
What? I have land?
We have a little village in Brie. I wanted to go there for our honeymoon.
What is it called?
Beaumarchais.
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 Pierre Augustin Caron de Beaumarchais.
It has music in it.
What a name!
It will open doors.
Open doors? It'll melt them.
Melt me, Monsieur de Beaumarchais. Boil me and cool me and hang me out to dry. Oh. Then sign your silly little letter and be off with you.
Beaumarchais.
De Beaumarchais.
Impressive.
Do you see me now?
In glorious colour.
I'm in a good mood, so I've seen fit to pardon you.
The relief.
I expect I am expected.
Through the double doors and on your right.
And next time you may not be spared the lash of someone's tongue.
If only, sir.
Your notes look very much in order.
Well, surely they're proof enough that the escapement is my own.
Proof? No.
But what motive could I have to falsify such records? What could possess a man to do such a thing?
The same thing, presumably, that possesses Lepote, for that is precisely what you accuse him of doing.
I wish to be subjected to any and all tests you can devise that will prove me as its rightful inventor.
I thought you might say that. For that reason, I've invited Lepote to join us.
Pardon?
He is in the next room.
Here, now?
I'd like you to question him in my company.
What questions would you have me ask?
Ask him about the design of your invention, Monsieur de Beaumarchais. If there are any gaps in his understanding...
I shall be proven without doubt the inventor of the escapement.
Shall I call him in?
I am ready for it.
Monsieur Lepote, we are ready for you now.
Good afternoon, young Monsieur Caron.
Good afternoon, Monsieur Lepote.
I must say I cannot for the life of me understand this behaviour. I was always a friend to the young watchmaker.
Do not waste your warmth, Monsieur Lepote. What's in dispute is not your charm, but your honour.
My honour? Have I not allowed your father to buy parts from me for some 11 years, when others are clearly less in need of my patronage? Have I not always encouraged you? Is that what you call dishonour?
If you'd scrubbed lepers from birth to last Tuesday, you would not be cleared of this fraud.
What a fine young man. But you must realise, young Caron, that your betrayal of my trust not only brings your reputation to disrepute, but your father's as well.
If I am to accept ethics tuition from you, sir, I should be careful to note which side of your head is talking. May we proceed?
Please do.
Monsieur Lepote, in your vast experience of the new escapement, what kind of metals can best be moulded for its efficient production?
I'm favouring copper at present.
Why is that?
Because it's easy to mould, resists the heat, and is relatively inexpensive.
How would gold fare in this environment?
Poorly. Gold is soft and the tail would bend.
And silver?
Silver is ideal, but the expense prohibitive.
Well, what proportion should the escapement be relative to the main spring?
It should be 2/3 the size.
Are there any alterations that must be made to the spring when this escapement is used?
It must be shortened by 1/2 a line.
Why is that?
To make room for the tail.
Oh. Very good answers, Monsieur Lepote.
I'm glad to oblige you.
Monsieur Vignon, may I speak with you in private?
Of course.
His answers are correct.
He is a professional.
But I think I know how I may defeat him.
How?
Monsieur Lepote has copied my escapement precisely and will get far if he continues, but only if he makes watches.
Go on.
He has not yet had time to perfect the escapement for use in clocks.
What would you suggest?
Leave it to me. Ah, Monsieur Lepote... We are invited to submit clocks for the scrutiny of the Academy in 2 days' time. The faces must be more than 50 lines in diameter. Monsieur Vignon will act as guardian of the clocks, and he will oblige us by burying them in a spot unknown to either of us. 7 days later, at precisely noon, we will return, the clocks will be dug up. And if either of our clocks tells the correct time, that man will be considered the true inventor of the escapement.
What arrant nonsense.
Do you have reservations, Monsieur Lepote?
Well, only the reservations that any honourable man would have against dignifying such a contest with his execution.
There is already a contest, sir, because there is a contester, and that is... Monsieur de Beaumarchais.
He told you his name was de Beaumarchais?
It is my proper name, monsieur.
It's a fiction! A fraud! What aspect of you does not feed on deceit?
If you gentlemen wish to discuss names, you have come to the wrong academy. For my part, I see sense in Beaumarchais' proposal. 2 days from now, at noon, I will expect any man who wishes to lay claim to this invention... to deposit a clock containing a token of it to within my charge. Failure to submit such a clock will be failure itself.
I shall be here, and with a clock. Beaumarchais did.
You're still coughing.
Don't worry about me.
I do worry, my darling. I wish you'd been there today.
Did he bring a clock?
He brought a clock. It was covered in gold leaf and cupids and sapphires, as though it would keep the right time by dint of sheer vanity.
I want to be there when they dig them up.
That's not for another week yet. You should be in fine shape by then.
Oh, I can't feel my legs.
Well, I'll have to feel them for you. Oh, there they are. Do you know what I've done?
I've written to the editor of the Mercury. I want the journalists there. I want Lepote's defeat recorded in the papers. And when the watchmaker to the king is vanquished by the young Beaumarchais before all the world, it'll be a small time before the king has heard my name. Our name. Oh, my darling Madeleine's name. And we'll be known to all the world. And you know what happens when you're known to all the world? The world gets very, very small. Madeleine? Madeleine!
You'll be able to keep the house.
The house?
You've gained her titles, but also her debts.
My wife.
Once the debts are paid, you're left with nothing. You remain owner of the house. You can retain its contents. But as for income, you shall have to look for it elsewhere.
The property?
In Brie, yes.
Beaumarchais.
You may keep the name. The dirt has been sold.
We were not married a month.
I'm very sorry.
We had hardly begun.
Well, now you can start again.
She was hardly 30.
There's nothing we can do for you, sir. We are merely lawyers.
They've printed your letter in the papers.
They have?
A number from the court are coming to the academy tomorrow to witness the result.
Those expected to attend include the Duchesse de Polignac, the Comte d'Artois, the Prince de Conti, and Madame de Pompadour.
They'll never come.
Why not?
They're too busy.
Rich is the opposite of busy. Madame de Pompadour coming to witness my victory. I'll have to prepare.
And a prince no one's ever heard of.
No one needs to have heard of him. He's a prince. That's enough. Papa, what's the time?
8 o'clock.
Oh, God! I've only one night!
For what, Pierre? One night for what?
Monsieur de Beaumarchais, we welcome you once again.
It is a pleasure to see you on so lovely a day, Monsieur Vignon. Has Lepote arrived?
He's just there, looking ill.
Oh, very good.
His Majesty the King is here.
The King? Here, where?
Turn around.
Oh!
I know who's going to win.
Oh, Madame de Pompadour.
We've made a little bet to spice things up.
And whose side has been graced with Madame's interest?
Yours, of course.
She's the sensible one. I had to take Lepote to even things up.
Oh, sir.
It's no reflection of my faith in you, boy.
Should my craft not be a matter of such high honor for me, sir, I would pray to lose so that France herself should win.
Charming.
France? Nonsense. We've only better leave.
Your Majesty, would you do us the honor of reading the clocks?
I brought my spectacles.
May we have silence? Silence, please. My sovereign lord, ladies, gentlemen, and members of the press, it is my great pleasure to have been entrusted with these two boxes for 7 days. Both boxes have remained buried for 7 consecutive nights and have been unearthed this hour by the Academy stewards. Are the two contestants ready?
Ready.
Ready.
The first box we open will be Monsieur de Beaumarchais. May we have the correct time, please?
The time is precisely 3 minutes past noon.
3 minutes past noon. And his clock reads, Your Majesty,
6 minutes past noon.
Silence, please. Silence. And now we shall open the box containing the clock submitted by Monsieur Lepote. Time, please.
4 minutes past noon.
And his clock reads, Majesty,
9:41. But my clock has been tampered with.
It has been in our charge, Monsieur Lepote. Do you doubt our impartiality?
Quiet, everybody, quiet. I want to speak.
This
Monsieur de Beaumarchais, as you all innocently call him, is nothing but an arrant fraud. His name is not Beaumarchais. It's Caron.
Pardon me, monsieur. You knew me as Caron. But now I proudly wear the name of the village given to me by my dear wife on our wedding night.
Lovely.
And where is she now?
As you well know, she departed life this past week.
Right on schedule, eh, Caron?
Whatever do you mean?
Monsieur Caron has benefited greatly from his wife's demise. her husband, died soon after she and Carol met. He married her within a week of that death, and before a month was out, she too had breathed her last. I leave you all to draw your own conclusions.
You do nothing of the kind, Monsieur Laporte. You are accusing me of these deaths, are you not?
But nature rarely works in so brisk a mood as this.
I can happily declare to all present that what is rumoured by you, good sir, by my good neighbours, or by 100,000 of my countrymen, cannot stain the honour of my good wife or our marriage bed. We were in love. She is no more, and for that I grieve. For those of you whose eye for finance peers even into matters of the heart, and I've only heard one man today unhappy enough even to admit to that, I say that my purse as well as my heart have been left empty by the departing of my wife. And as to nature and her works, I stand in awe of them. I take no part but the part that God asks me to play. I can assure you, good sir, that until today, and on this day and every day following it, that I shall be blessed with life. I will not question God's providence, be it brisk or otherwise. I pray only to bend to his demands and not to alter them.
All right, I will say one last thing. Monsieur Caron has indeed invented an escapement, as he claims it will keep time for over a week, but it has a cumbersome shape. And no metal can be cast small enough to make it work in watches less than 60 lines in diameter. That excludes all watches to be worn on the wrist. So, Monsieur Caron, your work will grow quickly obsolete. And there you have it, from the premier watchmaker in France.
Would Madame kindly permit me the use of her finger?
By all means.
Allow me to make you a gift of this ring. I've worked on it all night, and I hope that you will accept it as a humble offering to the muse of the sciences, Madame de Pompadour.
Isn't it lovely? How delicate. May I ask you what is the stone?
It is not a stone, madame. Upon closer inspection, you will see that it is not a stone at all, but a clock.
A clock?
Only 1.5 lines in diameter. The smallest clock ever made.
I can see it. It's a clock.
Does it work?
It works perfectly well, sir. And as it contains my new escapement, it will keep the correct time for over a week.
But no mecha can be cast small enough to make the escapement that size.
You're quite right, Laporte. No metal can. So I obliged madame by using diamond.
Oh, exquisite. I should cherish it always.
As France cherishes you, madame, for your various inspirations.
Oh.
And there you have it, from the premier watchmaker in France.
A rise in fortune has made you cocky, Carol. But everyone will always know where you came from. You wear it all the time, and unlike those clothes, you can never take it off.
Monsieur Laporte, the only part of you I wish to see at court this afternoon is your back, leaving. Beaumarchais, do me the service of taking his place.
Oh, with honour, your majesty.
And of making me a clock as small as hers. I'll wear it around my neck.
With pleasure, your majesty.
And of eating with us, I'm starved.
Oh, I shall serve you with my very soul, your majesty. And Versailles will be filled with ticking. I will make sure of it.
In episode 1 of Beaumarchais by Craig Warner, Henry Goodman played Beaumarchais. David Calder was Laporte, Ronald Pickup, Louis XV, and Anne Beach, Madame de Pompadour. Stephen Thorne was Beaumarchais' father, Elaine Pike, Madeleine, and Dennis Hawthorne Vigneault. Jason O'Mara was the secretaire, and Alex Lowe, the lawyer. The director was Marion Nancarrow.